Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm your host, but I am your stand-in host today, because we are taking a different front on today's radio show. I'm delighted to say that I've turned the tables on our current radio show host, who is also our leading lady today. So I'm going to welcome here in a moment our host, Windis Fernandez-Brinkord. And we're turning the tables because today we want to have a very frank and authentic conversation about that horrible phrase that so many of us as women go, oh my God, it's not possible, which is work, life, balance. Is there balance? Is there not balance? Our leading lady today is Windis Fernandez-Brinkord, who is, I believe, the managing director and chief big dog at Trilogy Financial Services. Windis, I am your leader today. Say hello to all of our listeners.
Hello, and thanks, Michelle, for the perfect introduction. Just to clarify, leading manager of San Diego, though.
Leading manager of San Diego. All right, well, I still call you a chief big dog, but you have risen through the ranks over the years I've known you. And, I mean, can we be, I hope, I haven't really asked for approval on this, but I want to kind of give full disclosure that, you know, you're kind of going through some real management, growing, leading type of things, and also family and balance issues going on. Am I right? I mean, is it okay to say it that way?
Yeah, and it's perfect to say it that way, because it's sometimes hard to keep up with the ebb and flow. And it's always easier when, oh, maybe work's tough and family life's perfect so you can juggle. But it's really hard when both things are going a little chaotic at the same time.
Yeah, they say messy for a reason, right? I mean, it cracks me up when that's like, life is messy. I'm like, really? I had no idea how much. You know, I want you to share, if you can, you know, a little bit of your journey, because recently you've just now become managing director of the San Diego office, or what is the exact title? Because I apologize. I know you're a senior vice president, but
I know I always actually struggle with it myself. I think it's a managing vice president. There you go. That's what I just actually had to look down at my own email. How funny is that?
Here's rule number one, know your title, right? Know your title of what your role is, and we wear different roles. But, you know, if you can share, you've recently taken over the San Diego office as the managing director, right? VP of management, whatever we want to call it. And you're dealing with people, and you're dealing with, you just moved. You recently made a big commercial move from one building to another, which I can't even imagine what that was like. But, you know, can you share with some of our listeners, like, what, you know, if you had to kind of think back and go, okay, what would you do differently in accepting this position? And do you feel like you really knew going in what this role would be in managing and moving and kind of running an office environment?
So before I accepted the position, I thought to myself, I'd be crazy to do this if they didn't actually hire me an assistant. And then in the accepting process, I was talked out of having an assistant, because that's not the structure that the company has built for their managing vice presidents. The challenge I see with that is I'm also the number one producer in the company, and none of the other managing vice presidents are number one in their region. So I'm not just number one in my region, but for the company. And I feel like it was really hard to, I didn't draw a line in the sand to best represent what I knew I would need to have success. So then I ended up taking on two full-time jobs, which I'm still doing, but then it leaves you feeling like you're not doing anything well when you're doing two things full-time, and oh yeah, you've got kids at home. And one has special needs.
Right. And I want to kind of talk a little bit about that, too, because that adds just such a challenging dynamic to the whole kind of story and viewpoint here. Because I think so many women, you know, Windows, I mean, I just want to give a little disclosure on my side. You know, I don't have kids, right? But, you know, in my situation, my family, my husband has had some really big health challenges, and that's kind of knocked me off my game a bit, you know, with his health issues going on. And it's like, it does something to your head, you know, when you're trying to act as if nothing's going on, but yet everything is swirling in your head. I don't know if you have that, but how do you put on? Do you try to put out there that, hey, I'm on top of everything and nothing, you know, I got this, I'm on top of it? Or do you just kind of say, hey, it's a bad day and I'm just going to make the most of it? How do you get through that from a mindset standpoint, knowing you have so much going on?
Well, I feel like one of the things I am is I'm typically always smiling. I would say there's not often you're going to see me not smiling, because I'm actually just generally a very happy person, right? So
right, you are.
I feel like I'm always smiling even when things are tough, because I know the tough is just, it's not permanent. It's all temporary. So you just have to try to sort through what your options are to the best of your ability to find your way to the other side.
And, you know, that
the
sounds really good, and I'm going
to...
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say the other side may not always be the outcome you were hoping for, but it's the other side regardless, and you can move on.
But I've always seen you over years that I've known you, where it's like you're always, you know, you do put on the, I've got this, I'm handling it, never let them see you sweat. When do you sweat? Like, how do you get out your stress and angst? I mean, like for me, it's like, you know, I hope this is funny, but sometimes I go slam doors, you know? I mean, it's like, that's just the way I release kind of my frustration. And it's probably not a good thing, because, you know, door jams. It's what I do, or watch Disney movies. But sometimes I need a little more to get out of me. What do you do to kind of release that stir up and that stress and you know, with managing these pieces?
Well, I'm kind of a talker. I like to talk my way through it. And I also believe in honesty, because... Okay, so if I'm a manager and I'm suffering behind the door and I'm not telling my team that I'm fighting for them and I'm not always winning for them, I don't want to misrepresent it. I want them to understand what I'm doing to try to make sure we have our needs met. And it doesn't always work out. So sometimes I'll go out there and I'll vent in the bullpen with my cohorts, and it'll be nice it's nice to share and have people be able to help lift you up sometimes. I'm not saying you should do that all the time, but I also think when you're honest, people give you suggestions. I'll touch on the kid front. If I suffered in silence for some of the stuff that we went through at home, then I don't think I'd ever be where I am, which is I have some cool options for my son right now because people made introductions and opened doors for me. When you think I'm going to be brave and I'm going to do this alone and I don't need help, you limit yourself to what you know and not to what all of the people you know. Make sense?
No, I like that. I think I want to ask you something because, you know, you and I both know different people in common. And I know we've had conversations over some, you know, on the other extreme where you say, look, I'm kind of open and honest and I let people know. I know there's a tipping point, and I'd love your opinion on the sharing too much of what is personally going on, like all the time. It's like you bring it up over and over and over again of maybe some of the adversity you're handling. Because there's like a happy balance on that, if I get it. In my opinion, I think there is. And then sometimes you're like, oh, my gosh, you know, too much. What's your opinion on that as far as giving some advice to our listeners?
Gosh, you know, I'd like to pretend like we all knew where the balance was, but if every time you saw me, you heard the same complaint, you wouldn't want to hang out with me very much, would you? So I guess it's about kind of moving on, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's funny to me,
I heard.
It is. And I don't think neither of us claim to be experts, but I'm experts in experience, right? Of handling. Like all of us have as women. It's like, it's not what happens to you. It's like, it's how we maneuver through it. Right. And sometimes well, and sometimes you got to take 5 steps back to go 2 steps forward, and you're still not ahead of where you were when you first started the maneuver is how I look at it. So, you know, I think for all of us as women, we know we go through some of the issues of work-life balance. But for you, when you talk about having friends, do you go work out and that helps you release? Do you find that there's a secret sauce that you have to kind of releasing tension, you know, because you're pretty healthy, you eat well. It's like I look at all that and, you know, some people have their vices, you know, and how they deal with stress and angst and adversity in different ways, you know. What's yours?
I want to jump in and say that if you're seeing the same person talking about the same complaint every single time you're seeing them, then that means in some way, shape, or form they're stuck. They're not moving forward, and that's really hard. So I just want to go back to that for a second and say, if someone is stuck, it helps for them to hear it. Like, I don't think that I don't think it hurts that if you're hearing someone say it over and over, that you can say, hey, do you realize it's been the same thing for 6 months? Have you tried something different?
Oh, wow. That's pushing back. That's interesting.
We're not doing anyone any favors by not stepping in sometimes and saying, you know, you're not moving forward. Do you need some help moving forward?
Wow. That's kind of powerful, actually, because, you know, most of the time we nod politely and go, oh my God, you know, I know they're dealing with
it again.
Either grief
or,
yeah.
Yeah. But right. You know what's interesting is they may not know that they're saying it over and over again. And so that little jolt might be just what they needed to get off of the merry-go-round.
Really good perspective.
But I say that because sometimes we believe that we're being polite when we aren't being a real friend.
Yeah, good point. And I think sometimes it's like, you know, you want to be careful to fight the fights you can win on that, if I have to say that.
That's
sometimes
true.
People don't want to hear what you have to say. So there's really no easy answer here is what we're saying, right?
Right. And the answer to the other question, I'm really adamant about having a morning routine, but then there's days like today where the morning routine didn't happen. And that's really hard. And I also think that where there's a routine, there should be some flexibility and forgiveness. So my goal is to get up every single morning and start my day by filling my bucket first. I believe that if I fill my bucket first by doing a set of six exercises or six different things, that then I start my day with better mental clarity and a better ability to tackle the challenges I'm going to have. Because doing what I do for a living, by both managing a lot of type A personalities as well as helping my clients with their money, it's very emotional no matter what direction it's coming from, right? So I get
right.
up and I try to do silent meditation. I do affirmations for what I'm looking to achieve. I visualize my day so that I know what I need to do to be prepared for it. I make sure that I read, I journal, and then I exercise, and then I get ready for work. So I start my day early to be able to do that.
I was going to say, share with our listeners what time you start your day, because you're in the office really early. Give us a sense of your morning and time.
So I start my day by getting up at 4 a.m. I'm pretty quick in the morning to get into my meditation by 4:05. I've got it down. And I move through the visualization, the affirmations, the meditation actually rather quickly. So I also feel like we set expectations for ourselves that are unrealistic. A meditation doesn't need to be a 30-minute thing. It could be a 5-minute silent thing every day. It's the act of committing to doing something for you that is relevant, not the amount of time you make it happen. So we all set these expectations like, oh my God, that person works out for an hour a day. I can't have success unless I do an hour a day. When the truth is, you might have success by just starting at 15 minutes a day, making time for it. Then you can make time for more later on after you've created the routine.
I'm going to interrogate you now. So when you start at 4 a.m., it's like when you get up in the morning, you've got, you know, two kids and you've got husband and, you know, the whole family in the house. Where do you go to do your meditation, and what can you describe what the meditation is?
I sit on a pillow in the corner of my kitchen and I silently breathe. It's very exciting.
So you don't think anything. You clear the mind, right? I mean, there's no like big thinking here.
Oh,
that's the affirmations that come later.
No. I mean, sure, things will creep into my head, but then I just let them go. The goal is to just accept what comes to your head and let it go.
Wow. Okay, now talk to me about the affirmation. Did you have them written down? Do you just do the? Do you have a mantra you go through when you kind of like think your affirmations through? Or I have mine on my phone, so I was curious where you have yours.
No, it's great. It's a great question. I have my affirmations actually written down on my laptop. So I'll pull up my laptop, and then I'll go through the affirmations, and immediately go right into. I'll go right into the next part, which is the visualization. And my affirmations, I change. So once every 3 months, I'll actually readdress what I'm trying to work on.
And how many do you have? Do you mind sharing one? Ooh, I put you on the spot, didn't I? Oh, my. Well, you know, I can share a couple of mine if I can do that. Because, you know, a couple of the affirmations I know that I go through, it's like when you think about affirmations, I like and personally like the I am statement. So I know for affirmations, it's like, you know, I believe I am successful. And for those of you that know Connected Women of Influence and our Sue Talks, I kind of bring in a little bit of successful, unstoppable. And then I add in, you know, the whole thing about empowering. And I know Windus actually some time ago turned me on to a wonderful book that was called The Miracle Morning. And Windus, I know that's what you focus on, but can you share one of your affirmations with us? Because I kind of shared one of mine, but what are one of your affirmations, if you don't mind?
Michelle, can you hear me?
I can.
Oh,
I can
awesome.
Now.
I got cut off. So sorry.
I know. Okay, I kept talking, so nobody knew, and now you brought it up. So, yes, we lost you for a moment, but I just kept going, and nobody would have known if you hadn't have said anything.
Oh, God. Okay,
I'm
sorry.
Share one affirmation, girl. It's funny.
Okay, what's one of my affirmations? So, I read a book called The Four Agreements, and one of my affirmations is to be intentional with my words, which comes directly from the book. And the goal is that all day long, words come out of our mouth. And in a management position, I feel like you have to be really careful about what comes out of your mouth. You need to make sure that whatever you're saying, whatever you're doing, you really mean it, and that you're trying to reduce any gossip or as much gossip as you can. I think it's unfortunate. It's like gossip's going to creep up. You shouldn't punish yourself if it happens. But I do think being really careful with the words you choose to put out there.
I like that. And I don't think I've ever read that book. I know The Miracle Morning was great. And, you know, I've known other coaches and consultants over the years that talk about the power of the I am statement. So like for me, you know, I mean, I have mine in my lovely little program called Evernote, which is where my life lives. And I have things like I am loving, I am calm, which I not always am, but I am calm, I am persistent, I am affluent, I am positive, I am a thought leader, I am ambitious. It's like I go through those and I start to feel more and more empowered as a woman who does what I do, but I get off track. So I'm curious, I like that you kind of we tweak yours about every 3 months and kind of up the ante based on what your priorities are. Do you have like 10 or 12 of them you go through or just a couple?
I think I have 7, actually. I think I have 7 I go through. The 4 from the 4 agreements are really something that I'm working on as my core right now until I can feel like I could say to you that I've embraced them and I can move on. I don't know if it's wrong or right, but I even have an affirmation to drink less wine. I like my wine. I network a lot. I have a very social career. So I have an affirmation to be nicer to my husband because sometimes that really direct Windus comes off to him because I feel like he's the one person I don't need to add the fluff in. But he needs fluff too. He needs to be loved and felt. So it's like my affirmations are very specific things that I'm currently working on about myself. And I refresh them every 3 months in hopes that I've mastered something. But, you know,
I love
then
it
might come back on.
So I want to keep moving through it because, you know, I think I have your approval here to kind of like agree with me in the 4 agreements, but this one's different. That the Miracle Morning is probably one of the best books ever. I mean, just gets you so centered on having that morning routine. Yes?
Absolutely. It gave me a new sense of self.
And then you breathe hard and you do think those big thoughts. They also talk about visualization. And I know you mentioned that in kind of your morning routine, which I love this. For you with your kind of visualization, I know you are renowned within our professional association of doing the vision board event once a year that everybody gets pretty excited about. But how, you know, what is your visualization process to share with kind of our listeners on what do you visualize? I mean, do you just kind of think about the day or do you think bigger than that every morning?
You know, for me right now in this very point in my life, I'm trying to just visualize the day. I don't know that I should be limiting it to that level, but for right now, I feel like that's a good starting point. And it goes back to the four agreements or the affirmations. When I feel like I've mastered being able to get past my day and triumphant, I feel like I do need to expand my visualization practice. But then again, like you said, I do have my vision board and I have a very actively well thought out business plan. On my vision board, I look at it often. I think about how I'm working towards those goals, what I put forth into the universe when I created it. And I'm very sensitive to making sure I don't have things that could be interpreted negatively by my mental space. Because what's on your vision board, like it or not, if it comes to reality, if it comes to fruition, you better be careful if there was the possibility for it not to be the way you originally thought it was going to be.
Right, right. Or it changes. I mean, I think I've shared this with you. I can't believe how many times over the years I've done it with you, and I missed this last year, but I'll share in a moment. I changed up how I'm doing the vision boards now for me, and, you know, they come true. I mean, it's just fascinating to me when you hang them up, it becomes artwork in my, you know, my happy place, which is my office, and it's like you look at it and you just, you know, I mean, I don't do much more than that, you know, and think big thoughts, but the visualization piece, you know, if we don't visualize it, if we don't believe it, we can't see it, right? So we need to see and believe is how I look at it.
Well, and I'll give you an example of what I said when I said be careful what you wish for. One year, a couple years ago, I had a doctor on my vision board, and to me, the doctor meant health, but that's not what it visualized for me for that year. The doctor meant the opposite.
Oh, wow.
And I found myself in a doctor's office a lot. After that, I looked at my vision board a little differently, almost like it was voodoo. I was like, I was wishing it on myself if I wasn't careful.
That's crazy, but you know what? People put like dollars and money, and it could be, well, that could be good and bad, right? You could have financial hardship just because you put money. You probably want like happy money or something. Make
no,
it a little
like
more specific, right?
Or there's other things that are symbolic of money, like elephants. You can always do things that are more symbolic.
I love that. We should do one on vision boards sometime. Well, I wanted to share with you, you know, since I've gone through that with you on the visualization side, because, you know, I like to cheat. I don't like to go to magazines and get my pictures. I get them off of a happy place called Google Images. But I laugh because I'm doing quarterly ones now because we've really changed for our business, which is, you know, an association. And I've gone to a quarterly year where it's like it's Q1, Q2, Q3,
well,
and Q4. So I just think in – what was that?
That's from the book, The 12-Week Year, right?
Yes, correct. And if you're a business owner and you haven't read it, I really recommend it. Just because it's really changed my mindset that I'm not even thinking past June 30th right now. My focus is just to what needs to get done in quarter two, which is our Q2 year. And it really is changing for us, our business model, because now we're so focused on more short-term and putting things off that maybe – our longer term, so we can execute and build an action plan and measure the results. It's very business changing. Okay, I want to keep going. The other part is scribing and then reading. How like, what do you choose to read about? Is it just you take a book with you and your laptop and your pillow in the corner of the kitchen every morning? You have it all ready to go the night before?
Yeah, I got it ready to go. It's got my little, I've got a little setup in the, I have a kitchen table that has a drawer in it. So in the drawer sits my book that I'm currently reading, or I have it on my laptop. And I just pull it up and I read for 5 minutes. I have a little bit of a timer going. And then normally I'm reading something that provokes thought. So something like The 12-Week Year or something like, I read one, The Ideal Team Player, right? So I want things that can help challenge me that I can journal about and brainstorm about when I'm done reading for 5 minutes. Helps me get through the book and have it stick better.
And you read first and then you scribe on what you read about, or just whatever you just mind up? What do you scribe about?
I scribe about my thoughts about the passage that I read about.
Wow. You know, I got to tell you, I've heard some people, what they do for part of that is they just kind of like mind dump. They're like, what's on your mind for the day? And they just put it down of their, you know, they're excited, they're concerned, they're feeling this or that, feelings, thoughts, ideas. But 5 minutes for me is not a long enough time. Like I start doing a list dump, but it takes me about 15 minutes. I extend my time
weird,
because I always...
Oh, I'm always afraid. I'm afraid that if I mind dump, I just do sound, I don't know if I'm coming off paranoid, but I'm afraid if I mind dump, I'm going to start my day with some negative concerns instead of the positive ones. So I kind of like mind dumping at the end of the day when I'm trying to sort through how the day went, maybe what I could have done better, versus mind dumping at the beginning of the day when I might actually not poison my mind, but maybe that's the best word I can think of for the day. I want the morning to be refreshing, not a venting session.
So you actually, do you actually end every day with kind of a, like you do the same thing, you scribe for a while on how the day was?
Oh no, that would be ideal. Normally I end the day drooling on my couch, you know, I don't know, lucky if I make it upstairs, so no, but you know, in a perfect world.
With no wine. And less wine, if I understood what you said, and it was killing me not to make a comment on that, but I finally got it in. I'm like, what? Less wine? But I get it. I totally get it. You know, first of all, you are super fun, and I'm like, I also want all of our listeners to know, I mean, I've known you a lot of years, Windus. I probably want to say like at least 9 or 10 years since we started CWI, but, you know, you were really, you weren't starting out in financial wealth management, but you were... You've just risen to such level. I mean, you're under 40. I want our listeners to really know who you are because you are an achiever. You love what you do. I mean, these are all things that have always inspired me about you. And it's like you're reliable. You have great visions of where you want to go for the future. You care about your family. I mean, you know, you do things for your husband. And I'm just like, you're wrapped around a woman of good charm. But what's interesting is that even with your rise in your leadership level, you're still real. You're still authentic. And I think all of our listeners need to know that it's never a perfect package of what you see with somebody because everybody has to handle adversity and challenges in life and business, right? So wrap up with some motivating thoughts because we're almost out of time, Windus, and I hope I made you feel as special as I think you are in words, and I want our listeners to know that. But what, you know, for those of our listeners that are going through some adversity, leave us on a high note, and I'll say we'll wrap up for the show because I want to be inspired at the end of every one of our shows, which is your show on this one.
I love it. Thanks, Michelle, and thanks for stepping in today when my guest could be here. And I will say, my wrap-up is that we all have stuff. My stuff's not greater than your stuff, and vice versa. And I think what's really important is for us to just take one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, 1 minute at a time, and be very careful with what we put out there in the universe.
That's a drop the mic. I always love that because I never know what people are going to say. But you know what? That's it. We all have stuff. So to our listeners, thank you. Thank you for listening in. We are getting to international reaches on Women Lead Radio, which we get excited about for our loyalty with listeners. We are here every Monday morning at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. Windus is one of our show hosts that will talk about financial and financial wherewithal and building your wealth and your financial house. And it was my pleasure to step in, but I want all of you to have a great weekend. And one of the things I personally challenge every woman out there to do is to be a better advocate on behalf of other women. Have a great weekend.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where life-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.